Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. You know, the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, there is such a thing as the spirit of heaviness. And some people, and the enemy has been trying to release a spirit of heaviness. Some time ago, when I was talking to partners, I told them how important it is for them to break routine and maybe go and do something that they have not done, or something happy that makes them happy and breaks routine. Because I knew that the enemy was trying to sow what is called the spirit of heaviness. And you see, you be there seated at home, and suddenly you feel very sad for no reason, and very heavy. And there is absolutely, there might be some reason, but then nothing new from what you've experienced before. Only now you seem to be so sad, so despondent, so downcast, and then you don't realize that there is a spirit which is actually causing you to be like that. Suddenly in that moment, you see everything that should have happened that didn't happen. And as far as you're concerned, nothing good has happened in your life. And it is a spirit of heaviness. And it is a spirit. Now you see, the thing is, people do not realize that it's not idle when he says the spirit of heaviness, because it's actually right there. And you sense something when a spiritual entity that carries that thing comes and is around in your vicinity. And what you don't realize is that the sudden heaviness is because there is a spirit right there. Now, if you realized it early enough, you'd say, Satan, get out of here in Jesus' name. And then suddenly you'll feel happy. But then afterwards, you say somebody even calls you and you say, man, I don't know why I'm feeling very low. Now, you have invited it inside. Okay, not inside, you know what I mean, eh? But you've invited the mood, because you've even given it voice. Amen? You've given sound to it, so then it now gets into you. Then somebody is very sad, and you can spend a period, sometimes a whole day, sometimes a whole month, when you're sad for no reason. And it's just because there is a spirit of heaviness. And actually, if you cast it out in the name of Jesus, it would go. And usually, it is there to announce something bad which is about to happen. So you have to understand that we live in a spiritual world. Amen? Now, on the other hand, of course, there is also a spirit of praise. Amen? Now, the spirit of praise, of course, is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But in Isaiah 11, it talks about the different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And then, one day you're seated there, and it has happened to me before. Both of them have happened to me before. Only that I knew it. So I did not receive the heaviness. I rebuked it in Jesus' name. I said, get out of here. I am not going to be sad. God is good. God is doing wonderful things in my life. Everything is okay. And I refused. I refused to receive it. And when you rebuke it, it goes. And usually it says here, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Immediately it went. Then something else happened. I felt the spirit of praise. Now, I was seated at home somewhere. I was alone. And suddenly, I started praising God for no reason. But somehow, I found reason. And I praised Him, and I praised Him. Now, the spirit of praise actually is there to announce a big miracle to happen in your life. It's a precursor to something big that's going to happen in your life. Now, that one, when it comes, you receive it. Now, some of you will not receive the spirit of praise. You wake up in the morning, and you're happy for no reason. And you feel like praising God for no reason. And you just say, there's nothing. And you get up and dress up and, you know, get on. And you don't understand that you've missed an opportunity to actually connect with something which God was trying to do, which you were supposed to make room for if you had received the spirit of praise. If you had even just taken 30 minutes to just praise God. Now, I took like 3 hours. It was afternoon. I had nothing to do. So I took 3 hours. No, it was actually like mid-morning. So I took 3 hours and praised God about this, about that, about everything, and you know, everything. And suddenly, when you start praising God, you realize that there's a lot of things to praise Him for. And then it went on and on and on up to around 4 p.m. And then I left home and went somewhere to sit and have a... You know what? But that cappuccino was very sweet because I felt like God is so good. There was nothing special. It was the usual cappuccino. But somehow, because I was in a mood of praise. And then something actually big happened. But you first got... this is just by the way, it's not even what I came to speak about. But I just sensed that do not allow heaviness to engulf you. Because it is a precursor for something wrong, which you can refuse. Amen? Amen? Now you see, some of you have to be reminded of basic lessons of spirituality. There is nothing that does not have an origin. You can't just be sad for nothing. No, there's a demon of sadness around you. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. How can you be sad? Okay, if you've lost somebody, then there is a natural reason why you would be sad. Isn't it? You wake up, last night you slept when you were happy. We are very happy. And you went to bed. And you wake up in the morning and you're sad. And you think it just came. It did not just come. And also, you have to know that there is no attack. The way the spirit world impresses itself upon us is through what you would call feelings, like precursors of something which is about to happen. You understand? Now, you wake up one day and you suddenly feel unsafe. Then you're leaving home and also this happened to me. I used to stay in a certain place and I used to stay alone. I would walk with my key as if I'm a prison guard. Now, actually, one day, I'd gone to a function, and I put the key holders, long ago key holders. So I put the key holder here. Then some guy came and told me in Luganda that you're smart, but I knew he was not the complimenting type. I knew he was heading somewhere, so I waited for where he was going. Then he said, "But take the keys away from there. People might think you have a prison at home." So, anyway, I used to move with it. But one day, and I'd been there for a number of years, and I'd never had any incident of theft whatsoever. But then one day I woke up, and suddenly I felt so unsafe. My house, did I lock it? Yes, I locked it. I have the key. But then, what if this happens? I would go and go back home very late, sometimes midnight, sometimes when nothing ever happened in about 6-7 years of me staying in that place. But for some reason, something started happening in my head. But then I knew that time, what I'm telling you now. I knew that was the devil asking for invitation to come and rob me. So I said, "Satan, no, you're not going to rob me. My house is safe, and it is safe, and it is guarded, and you cannot touch my... You go and look for other people to rob. I'm a child of God." Now, I refused it. And then when I rebuked it, suddenly the feeling left. And so the security continued. But now, I'm telling you that if I had received it and suddenly become very cautious, I think I need another padlock. I think even if you do what you are going down, they are going to rob you. Because it's a spiritual thing. You either rebuke it here and it does not manifest there, or you don't rebuke it here and it will manifest there. Now, the battle is not there. There it has already happened. The battle is where? Here. It's like if you're walking and you slide here and you fall there, the problem is not there. The problem is where? Here, where you slid. So now, when you have those feelings of something bad is about to happen, and I know I used to have that. Remember that story I told you the other time of my friends who died in an accident? You remember? Now, I knew that for some reason, the devil wanted me to die in an accident. Like as if they... So, in the next... Every time I would be... One time I was coming from Masindi with some guy, the tire burst. We went off the road like this and somehow hit a tree. And there were incidences similar to that all the time, or like around. Then I realized the devil is bargaining for my life through an accident. Eh? So I handled that in the spirit. And the minute the fear goes and the sensitivity, then it's not going to happen. You understand? Eh? But if you allow the sensitivity to come and take you over, then you think you can do something naturally. That I don't drive fast speeds, I drive very slow. Do you know that? Praise the Lord. No, you have to understand that. Sometimes people speak things. I remember there was a man of God. I heard him speaking and I used to love him a lot. He was speaking before, he was preaching and he said he was invited to speak before the UN. Then he said that he got to the UN and you are supposed to get there and talk about Jesus. But these guys think they have everything. They think they own the world and so on. But the one thing they fear is the future. And that's the one thing we don't fear. Amen? So he told them that, you know, I am an ambassador. These are his words. I am an ambassador of a foreign kingdom. Because they understand the diplomatic language. So he says, I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. And just as you guys have security, also may have security for my kingdom called the angels. They watch over me. So he spoke and he said, I cannot, for instance, when I board the plane, the angels are there. The plane cannot crash. But then he spoke about a plane crash so many times. I said, why are you talking about it so many times? You see, sometimes when you talk about something so many times, you have to ask yourself why. Guess how he died? In a plane crash. If you start feeling a sensitive, people board the plane. You know, there are people, somebody told me that. I tried to explain to somebody how plane is the safest means of transport. He said, but I said statistically it is. He said, Then he said, but how come? I said, that's because when it crashes, it makes news. But you know how many cars have crashed here and are not making news? He said, you cannot convince me. Now, the thing is, I'm trying to portray something. Eh? Do not let the spirit of heaviness, that's actually the point in all of this. Eh? It is coming to announce something bad. You can block it from here. If you block it here, it does not happen there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, some of you walk in the blessing, eh? Like me. Eh? Now, I know exactly when the enemy is trying to attack my finances. Because I do not wake up any day and I think about where I'm going to get money to do anything I want to do. It does not happen. It has not happened in like the last 7 years and I've never failed to get the money. But when I start thinking, where am I going to get them? I know I'm under attack. And the first thing I do is I break it. Satan, get out of my finances immediately. Get out, because it comes as a thought. Where am I going to get this? Where am I going to get this? Where have I gotten it? Am I communicating something? Now, when you start feeling sudden fear, that where am I going to get rent next? Where am I going? Now you know that's an attack. Because you've been probably staying in that place for so long and you've been paying rent. But suddenly now there is an uncertainty which is showing up from nowhere. That is a spiritual attack. And it is, some people expect spiritual attack to come like in the form of it. No. It imposes itself, something imposes itself on you in a certain way. And then you feel as if a shield has moved around you. There's a certain shield of protection which perhaps you felt. Or even over your finances, and suddenly you don't feel it's there. Then now you have to pray and get yourself in that place. Now, that place has nothing to do with what's in your pocket. Because I've been in a place where there is absolutely nothing in my pocket, but I know I am completely 100% blessed, and if I want anything, the finances to do that thing will show up when I need them. Amen? I learned long ago how to make money, my servant. A servant shows up when he's needed. Eh? He does not have any say Come here, here I am. I want cappuccino, yes. You understand? Eh? Now, but the moment I feel, and this happens every once in a while, you wake up and suddenly you feel a sense of, I'm not so sure. Oh, I don't play with that. If I waited, if I had that feeling and I did not handle it, in 2 weeks, actually, the money runs out. It might even be less. But I don't wait for it to run out. Amen? Hey, I first, whatever. And then it, there's just something I wanted to show you there, which I've finished with. Now let me go to other things. Eh? Praise the Lord. There's something which the Lord has been teaching me about here. This last 2 weeks, because I wasn't here last week. Eh? But I'm going to tell you very briefly. But first of all, let me tell you this. Are you people following what's happening in the world? Eh? Now, you know, you remember the Gog and Magog prophecy? You remember the Gog and Magog countries? The countries of Ezekiel 38, which I explained to you, are going to attack Israel, according to a prophecy in Ezekiel 38. Now, there was a time it did not look likely, because all of them seemed to be going the other way. But now, suddenly, some things have happened. First of all, the war in Ukraine seems to have separated, seems to be caving something very clear. Now, the other day, of course, I've told you a lot of the background, but I'm just telling you that now, the other day, when Biden visited Israel, Putin visited Iran. Biden did not just visit Israel, he visited the whole Middle East, you know. He visited Saudi Arabia as well. But he left with nothing. It was just a, you know. Then Putin visited Iran. But now Putin does not visit and get nothing. What he gets is he got Iran to allow to manufacture for Russia very powerful fighter drones. Actually, Iran is the best at manufacturing them in the world. Did you know that? So now they are manufacturing them for Russia, apparently for the war in Ukraine and any other wars. But then that is significant for this reason. Also, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, outside of the news, Israel has been bombing a lot of Iran targets in Syria, some in Iraq, and Lebanon. So, trying to cut off the wings of Iran, because Iran has been fighting Israel through proxy wars, through some fighters in Syria, somewhere in Iraq, others are, especially Hezbollah and Hezbollah in Lebanon, and Hamas in the West Bank, which has also been throwing rockets into Israel. But now, the reason Putin's thing has a lot of visit, has a lot of importance, is this. Number one, after his visit, Russia went and stopped. There's a certain company called the Jewish Agency, which has been operating in Russia. And its work was to help Jews who want to resettle in Israel to go back. And they have been working hand in hand with the Israeli government. And they have been very free to operate in Russia. But now, because of Russia causing up with Iran, which Iran hates Israel, now suddenly Russia is becoming a bit tough on Israel, because they told them no more Jewish agency here, so they are moving to close it. And Israel came up with a very strongly worded diplomatic letter saying that this is going to be a major, they even threatened to withdraw the ambassador over the closing of the Jewish agency. But that's not all. Much of the territory in Syria, where Iraq is trying to set up, you know, those missiles which they want to send it to Israel, and they are setting up, the other day Israel hit a whole factory of them and raised it down. Now, much of those places actually under Russian control. And so far, Russia had been letting Israel go and, you know, hit Iranian targets, especially in Syria. But now, Russia is threatening to tell Israel, do not come here. Now, that would be the beginning of that Gog and Magog war. Because Israel has stated very clearly that they will never allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon. Iran has stated also very clearly that it is now what is called a nuclear threshold weapon. Because you have to have enriched uranium, which is enriched enough to make a weapon. Apparently, the last they checked, they were at 60%. You require 90%. They are close there. You have to have the trigger device, and you have to have the launcher. Now, they have both of them, the trigger device and the launcher. What people are still wondering is whether their uranium is enriched enough. And apparently, it is close to being there. And now, the moment Israel senses that Iran is going to get the weapons and put them on the launcher, that's when they are going to strike. That's what the Bible says, actually. I've read for you that scripture. They are going to do a preemptive strike because Israel is a very small target. If Iran got even one nuclear head, they would raise the whole of Israel, just like that, finished. But that's not all they have, because they have put all these, they are in excess of 15,000 missiles across, around Israel. Some in Syria, some in West Bank, some in Lebanon, and they are waiting. Now, Israel has that famed Iron Dome technology, which kind of intercepts them in the air. But it can be overwhelmed if there are so many. So now what they are planning is to be sending over 1,000 a day. Now those ones will overwhelm Israel's technology. And they would put them in total disarray. Now the thing is, of course, Israel knows that. And they have said, we have our nuclear weapons and we will use them when there is a existential threat. Now the reason I'm telling you this is, the minute Russia, what the Bible tells us clearly, Russia and Turkey and Iran, those ones I'm absolutely sure. The one I'm not entirely sure is China, but I am about 70% sure, are going to be part of the coalition that will attack Israel. It says in the latter days, in the book of Ezekiel, it will happen in the latter days. Now, Turkey is with Iran, Russia is with Iran, China is with Russia, which means also with Iran. So now the coalition is already in place. Now, America had to be taken out of the way, and they already are. Because the future of America, apparently, is a bit different. So it had to be taken out of the way. Now, thanks to the weak presidency of Joe Biden, nobody takes America seriously among their strategic allies any longer. None of them. So previously, people would think, even now Europe is creating its own, even the NATO thing, they say, now America, we can't trust them to protect us. Eh? You know, that reminds me the other day. You know these fact checkers, eh? You know fact checkers who fact check everything, eh? Especially true things. Now the other day there was a parody. You know a parody, eh? A parody of Biden standing at White House talking, and then there was an ice cream truck which passed. Then he turned and went for ice cream. It was just, of course, it was a stupid video, a parody video. But what shocked everybody is Reuters came up and said, it is not true. He did not go for ice cream. And people were saying, are you guys crazy? Obviously, it was a joke. But you know these people. Because now they turned and saw the guy with a cone of ice cream. Anyway, that is just nyongeza. But my point is, we are heading very, very close to that war. And me, I'm waiting to see it. Eh? Now, this is how the Bible says. Start from verse 1. We just read three verses. Start from verse 1. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech. Now, Meshech was the pronunciation which eventually turned around to Moscow. Eh? Now, all this Tubal is, all these other places are, that's why it says the Muscovites, who are people of Moscow, which is actually Russia. And says, okay, go to the next verse. And I will turn you around and lead you to bringing you up from the far north. Now, it also involves Turkey. Because every time it says the north country, it actually means Turkey. And you know the center of scripture is where? Jerusalem. Now, you draw a line straight from Jerusalem, it will actually go all straight on to Istanbul, Turkey. So, it says, and bring you up from the far country and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock. Now, here is the thing. Iran, Turkey, Russia, and possibly China attack Israel. The Bible says there will be an army of 200 million people. 200 million people. The population of Israel is less than 20 million people. not army, Israel, just the whole population. But now they are attacked by an army of 200 million people, according to the scriptures. Now, he says, now this is being discussed, by the way, and I found it interesting. They were saying between Iran and Israel, who is going to do the first preemptive strike? Because it's just a matter of time before. You know when people are about to go to blows, eh? And it's a question of who is going to throw the first punch. Eh? Now, this is where these people are. Obviously, the fight is going to go on. It's a question of who is throwing the first punch. Now, according to the Bible, Israel is going to throw the first punch. Here is the verse. Some of you need for me to interpret. How does it mean that? What? By the way, also, I wanted to tell you that on 17th September, we're having the Watchman Conference. Eh? Right here. And now it is the first Watchman Conference since 2019. And when COVID came, I realized that so many believers will take the mark of the beast if it came right now. Because they follow everything. I was so scared by how much believe, how easy the believers fall for things. So now we want to, and now we are on radio across the country. So I want, it's going to be a bigger, because we are getting people from all over. And I want people to understand that the mark of the beast comes by deception. Some people think it's going to come and say, take this mark. If you take it, you're definitely going to hell. No, the devil is wiser than that. It comes by deception. And some of you know it because you've been attending it. But other people don't. Okay? They don't. They take anything. Now, go to the second dose. Now a booster. Now third booster. Now fourth booster. It's as if they are taking boosters for what? What do people need boosters for? Apostle Abraham has understood it. I don't know why him. It seems he takes boosters. booster dose. Apostle, praise the Lord. There is no condemnation for those who boost. You're yet what? Don't tell us. Now listen to this. Why are you telling us your thing? Anyway, praise the Lord. What I was saying is, but let's leave this. 17th September, Watchman Conference. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, we have to warn the church because they are. When COVID came, I saw a sleepy church, which don't know anything about what God wants us to be in this end time. They haven't a clue. Nothing whatsoever. They are still preaching the gospel of salvation. Not the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom. Eh? Of the kingdoms of this world. Belong to our God and to his Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen? The gospel of authority. Taking up authority. Taking up power. That is the gospel we are preaching. Amen? We have to send the forces of that. You know, let me tell you something. You know, there's a scripture which where Jesus was praying for his disciples in John 17. And he says that these ones whom you gave me, I have demonstrated to them that you sent me. And they have believed me because they know that you sent me. Amen? Now, there are people whom I deal with in my other things. You understand? Who are not born again. Some of them are even Muslims and so on. But you know, I've demonstrated to them. Because I will tell them this is going to happen. This and this is going to happen. And it happens. At the beginning, they will look at me. But now they even say that, pray for us. Because they know that I have power. Eh? Amen? They know. Because they know. You know, some of them have come in a place where you have to go to the devil. Eh? For power, for politics. Eh? Now we have to demonstrate to them that there is a power bigger than that. Amen? And those who come to me, all of them know. Eventually they get to know. They start saying, there's one whom I told that, don't worry, this is not going to happen until we are ready for it to happen. Then the person looks at you. And then I say, you wait, you'll see. When we are ready for it to happen, it will happen. And it will happen when I am ready. Amen? Praise the Lord. Only the other day, the Lord told me, hurry up, hurry up. The Lord told me that, hurry up. You know, and you know the Lord has ways of demonstrating things. Now I just fall down like this. And I'm that's half asleep, half awake. Then I am playing golf. And in reality, I'm actually awake. If somebody walks in, I would hear them. I'm not asleep. Then I'm playing golf. So I get the club. And then I'm supposed to swing like those ends. Then when I swing, shoo, the ball goes up to like where the car is. Then the Lord says, "Yongera mukumanyi." Okay, don't speak in Luganda. By the way, does he know Luganda? Apostle Abraham, does the Lord know Luganda? I'm joking. I'm joking. Edon, what is the language of the Lord? Some of you say, Hebrew, we are going to learn Hebrew. No, the language of the Lord is the Lord. Anyway, there's something about it. So 17th September, mark that date. Okay, now let's go in the Injili for the next like 20 minutes. You know, the Lord was telling me about the power of... First go to Luke chapter 10, where Jesus celebrated and said, "Thank you. I thank you, Lord, because you've hidden these things from the wise people of this world and revealed them to babes." Even so, it seemed pleasing. I think it's Luke 10:21, I think. Go to Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight." Now, I want you to see that Jesus was happy. What was he happy about? I want you to look at the context. Go to the previous verse. "Then the servant returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' Then Jesus told them, 'Okay, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven.' Then he said, 'But don't be excited because demons are subject to you. Be excited that your names are written in heaven.' Then it says, in that same moment, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, 'I thank you, Father, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, from the professors and the what?'" I mean, you can be a professor and still know them. My point is, from the wisdom of the world. "And you've given them to the babes, to fishermen." Amen? And then he says, "Even so, it seemed good in your sight." Because the world is looking for God. They just may not know it, but they are looking for God. Because in God is everything they want. Amen? But they are trying to look for him through their own wisdom. And actually, Paul expresses that in First Corinthians, I think chapter 1, start from, I think, verse 26 or thereabout. He says that, maybe go back, start from verse, where he says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Go ahead. "For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise.'" Praise the Lord. Now, there is a certain wisdom, the wisdom of the wise, which God says, "I will destroy it and make people who are wise to be the ones who are groping for, trying to find the meaning of life. And those who are not, supposedly wise are the ones who understand, who have found God." It says, "And bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Go ahead. "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Now, let stop there. I want to show you something. You see, when I chose to follow the Lord, there is a certain amount of wisdom which I had gathered before, where you'd even stand and argue and people say, "Man, he's a wise man." They still say that of me today, but in a different way now. Because now my wisdom is anchored on the Lord. But you know, some things which you think are important, eh, then you can dispute this, say that, and people say, then you realize that it's actually heading, taking you nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Zero. When you were walking by that wisdom, you were fearful, you had no purpose, you were broke. As you know, I can never be broke. Okay? You were so many things, but you were wise in your own eyes. Now, you did not have a purpose, a sense of purpose in your life. You could not state for sure that this is where I'm going and stand up and head there and nothing can stop you as it is. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you know, because sometimes you get into people say that, ah man, if you do this, they are going to stop us. I say, who are going to stop us? They cannot. They cannot. Praise the Lord. Now, there is something that you get through what the world calls foolish. And you choose to be a fool to the world. But you see, these arguments we are in, only results count. Because the people who argue a lot have no results. Now he says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now there are certain simple things, there's something I'm going to show you here. There are certain small things that appear to be foolish. But actually in them God has put a lot of wisdom. Something small. And that's all that matters. You do that, you learn how to do it, you get results. Everybody else around you might think you're foolish. But actually, you just give them time. Your results are going to come. Go ahead. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. The world came up with wisdom. You know this, what, theology, what, but they did not know God. They did not discover him. They did not realize him. Okay? At the time when Jesus is sending his disciples to go and cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, and he does not tell them anything. He just says, go. I've sent you. Do you know in the first year of Jesus' ministry, he actually did not leave Nazareth, you know, Galilee. He chose his disciples and stayed there. In the first year, he was only training his disciples. His nationwide ministry started in the second year and the third year. The first one, he was just training his disciples. So they come, they sit with him, he trains them, then he tells them, now, everything you've seen me do, go and do it. Then they go. Then they come back and say, demons were running, sick people were getting healed, what? Then Jesus says, hey, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise people. The wise people have cancer, but the fishermen are healing the sick. Amen? Yeah. The wise people are sick, but these fishermen know the solution. And he says, you've hidden them from the other people and revealed them to these people. And then said, even so, it seemed good in your eyes. So it was wonderful. What? So he said, for since in the wisdom of God, in other words, according to God's wisdom, he made sure that people will not discover him through the wisdom of the world. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Somebody say foolishness. Now let me tell you, until somebody has called you a fool, you have not discovered God. Eh? Because there is a certain foolishness in what? It only sees as being foolish when people see the results. But at the beginning, it looks very foolish. And I'm going to tell you what makes you even more foolish. If you want to become foolish. Eh? Okay. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request for a sign. Now, this is the typical cultures of today. Somebody comes and says, if you can do this, I'll believe in you. Imagine they even tell that to Jesus. Show us a sign. Then Jesus looks at them and says, you people, eh? That no sign is going to be shown to you except the sign of Jonah. And is it because he can't make a sign? He can, but you don't. Somebody wants you to prove something, he's not going to believe. People who have chosen to believe. They don't ask for proof. Amen? Belief is not about proof. People don't believe something because it is provable. No. Belief is a deeper thing than the mind. Proof is the mind. If somebody tells me, prove to me that this, just walk away. He's wasting your time. Those who want to believe what? Believe. And then when they believe, they discover the reality of it. So, it says, show us a sign. So they say the Jews request for a sign. And the Greeks, the philosophers, ask for what? Wisdom. They are seeking for some new theory. What is the secret to something? The secret to happiness. Eh? Ask out the spirit of heaviness. That's the secret. Secret of heaviness. Cast out the spirit of heaviness. What is the secret to? And I'm telling you, I told people in the partnership meeting twice. Do not allow yourself to be a routine person. Because when you're a routine, I'm waking up, going here, then going back. Man, how do you live your life like that? Monday to what? And this day I'm taking my family out. The other day, what? Then the next, then again. Then again. Man, you become depressed. That's not the God we serve. Eh? You go and enjoy yourself. Go somewhere. So go to some beach. Go abroad. Go somewhere. And have a nice time. Eh? That is the word of the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. Otherwise, you can easily... there is a spirit of heaviness. That's why I see people getting depressed. Then they start talking of mental health. Mental health. Mental health. Mental health. Because they have not discovered foolishness. When they discover foolishness, how can you come and tell me there's anything wrong with my head? I am a happy man, as happy as can be. Praise the Lord. I am happy. I have purpose. I'm serving God. I am so happy to serve God. Like, I have never been happier. Like, mental health, what is that? Anybody who talks of mental health is suffering from mental sickness. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. Okay? But we preach Christ crucified. Something very simple. The cross of... That's the solution to all life is there. The crucifixion. The solution to all life is in the crucifixion. And now, somebody, was saying how... somebody who sometimes attends... actually, probably is here. Life slipping out of her. I think when she told my wife, when she was giving birth, so life slips out of her and suddenly she finds herself in the other world. Now when she arrives there, she looks, and to her shock, there is a whole line of people, like, willingly going down a dark tunnel into hell, and they can see the fire ahead, but they are just walking. They have no choice. Then she's like, don't these people see where they are going? Then, of course, she says a bit and comes back and gives birth to her baby, who is now, okay. And so is she. Mother and baby are what? But my point is, she said, she realized that. You see the things I said? That side, that world, the only thing that matters is that Christ died on the cross. That is the only deal that counts anything there. Christ died on the cross. And how you received that message determines whether you are going to be part of those people who are walking into the fire very happily, or those who know that that is not where I'm supposed to be. And now for her, she's there, and she knows that I don't belong there. That's not my place. And you know it. There is no, I don't belong there. That's not where I belong. And there is nothing that can take you there because you do not belong there. Because, and the only thing that matters is Christ died on the cross. Now, even in this life, the only thing that matters for health, for prosperity, for purpose, the cross, Christ and Him crucified, that's it. So men run to God for solutions. And God only has one solution for them. He shows them His Son. That we are sick, Jesus. We are poor, Jesus. Because when God did that, He sorted all men's problems. That was the end. All man needs is sorted. So every time you run to God, He shows you His Son. And says, that's it. He's the one. Even on judgment day, God is not judging anybody. It is Jesus. And the scripture says that the Father judges nobody. But all judgment has been committed to the Son. Why? Because He is the Son of Man. In other words, He knows what it means to be a man. God has never been hungry. Or He has never been tempted. But Jesus knows that you did something weird because you were tempted. And he knows that, okay, I understand. I have been there, but the father does not know it. Now, that's why. So he says in the book of John that he committed all judgment to what? To the son, because he's the son of man. You are the one who understands their problems. So you judge them. Now, okay. And then it says this where we do not have a high priest who is not moved by our weaknesses. Eh? In the book of Hebrews. He is moved. Although he was tempted but did not fall into sin. Yeah, for you it's okay. You can fall into sin. Because he suffered for that. He paid the penalty ahead of time. Before he even sinned. Okay. Now some of you say that what? You're giving people the license to what? But you've been sinning without a license. Haven't you? How many of you are holy? All of you, unless you're not born again. All who are born again are what? Yes. Be holy just as what? He's holy. It doesn't mean be like, you know, if you read the Bible in a different way, eh? Be holy just as he's holy. You understand? So as he's holy, I'm what? Chewed. So is he holy? Yes, so am I. According to what? Scriptures. And you see some people, when you do not discover that, when you don't discover that, you will never live a fulfilling life on this world. Because you spend all your energy trying to cleanse yourself and you will never succeed. Yet Christ already did it. And you can never do it better than him. Amen? It is done. Like he already did it. You're cleansed. It is finished. So anyway. So discover foolishness of the cross. Eh? And to the Greeks, foolishness. Go ahead. They said, but to those who are called, both the Jews and the Greeks, Christ is both the power and the wisdom of God. Okay, go ahead. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Go ahead, there's a scripture I want here. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many of you were wise according to the flesh. In other words, not many of you were professors. But even if you were, you have to first become foolish and forget that knowledge. Because it's taking you nowhere. Because all of us had certain wisdom according to the flesh. Eh? I'm an expert at this and what. But it actually counts. So he says, not many of you were wise according to the flesh. Not many of you mighty. But even if you were mighty, you have to first get rid of the other might to discover the might of the Lord. Eh? And it is a... You have to... And not many of you noble. Okay, some of you were noble. Amen? But even if you were not. Now let me show you the last thing before we finish. I'm going to tell you the secret of what the Bible calls following. Eh? Follow. 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 Praise the Lord. Say follow. Now Jesus comes and tells Peter and his brothers and his brother and also John and his brother James, and he tells them, follow me, and I will make you. Okay, fishers of men. But you stop at, I will make you. Now, the secret actually in this side of the world to success is just following somebody. And I'm not talking about following God. You already follow him. God is the one who gives you somebody. What? And every person you follow is taking you somewhere. He's going to make you. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you. So somebody you choose to follow is going to make you. He's going to make you what he is or something that he is. Not necessarily in exactitude, but something according to what he is. So he says, follow me and I will make you. Now following, there are very, very few people even in churches who know how to follow. All of them are independent minded. That's why they do not see the true blessing of the Lord. I'm telling you, one of the first things I ever learned is how to follow. Because you see, we also had our time when we were independent-minded. The pastor comes and says, this week we are going to fast. You say, not this week. It's not convenient for me. Then, they fast that week. Then the next week, they say, now this week we are going to Thanksgiving. We are going to have a party. Then you say, for me, I'm going to fast this week. And you are racist. Now, you cannot receive anything that that person has when you are not a true follower. Because you're actually independent-minded. And most people are like that. And I can tell people, I'll tell you this. People, even some who do not come here, some of them are even abroad, who are followers of me, when they are going to be in trouble, I see it, I dream about it, and I pray about it. But there are those who come here who are not my followers. I don't see it because they are not in my bracket. Amen? They are not. Now, even in a place like this, I remember there was when I stay in a place somewhere, even if it would be like an estate, nobody can die there unless I know. I would know about it and pray about it. And if they die, I would know that I could not stop it. Because somehow I'm in the vicinity. Now, you can be in somewhere in somebody's space, and there is nothing that can happen to you unless it actually. I see, and there are so many things. There are people whom I see, and I know this person is going through this, this person is going through that, and I pray about it without even you ever knowing. Eh? And I pray about it, and because it somehow shows up in my on my radar, on my spiritual radar. Now, but that's because, but if you're not, you just come, you can come here and listen very well, which is also okay, you know, understand. Eh? But until you find it's the secret of following, not necessarily me, or you can follow anybody else, but those people, I can tell that, for instance, when I decide to increase my giving, there are people whom I know who are going to receive just because I gave. It's a very complicated thing. Now, he says, follow me and I will make you, and I will make you something. Now, following is an active thing. It's not a passive thing. It's a very active thing. Because can you imagine? Jesus says that if you love your father more than me, or you love your mother, or you love your children, you're not worthy of me. Then he says, take up your cross and follow me. That means that there is actually an active thing of there is somebody whose everything I esteem more than even my natural family. He doesn't say don't love them. Of course, he wants you to love them. But says if you love them more than me, then you're not worthy of me. Now, can you imagine such a... That's a hard teaching. Eh? Amen? But until you do it, you will never discover the secrets of actually success after success in the kingdom of God. You will never. Because you'll be a follower of yourself. And you'll make yourself yourself. That is the definition of what? Stagnation. But somebody says, follow me and I will make you. So there is a process. Now you see, the first thing the disciples learned how to do was to follow. That's why in John chapter 6, when they asked him, when he asked them, are you also going to depart? When he gave them the thing of, unless you eat my body and drink my blood. And then everyone deserted him. Now those who deserted him were not followers. You understand? If somebody can say something and you're offended, you are not a follower. Now, Jesus knew that these ones were following him because he turned bread into what? Multiplied bread. And they ate and they were satisfied. So now he says, hey, okay. My body is my flesh is bread. And my blood is what? Is drink. Unless you eat he's trying to offend them to see those who are really followers. Eh? And those, you got that scripture in John chapter 6. Okay, he's trying to offend them because he knows if you can still be offended by somebody, you're not a follower. Then he says, Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Now notice what Peter said. Go to the next verse. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, where shall we go? Is that what he said? Eh? No. He did not say, where shall we go? He knows where to go. He has a home and a wife. Simon had a wife. He said, to whom? In other words, who are we going to follow? We have learned how to follow. Now, if we stop following you, who are we going to follow? To who? He did not say, where shall we go? He said, to whom shall we go? You are the one who is in the process of making us something different. When you picked us up, we were fishermen. Now we're in the process of being turned around. You promised us. Now this same Peter, he says, to whom shall we go? To whom? We are followers. So if it's not you, it has to be somebody else. Now who? He says, no one. Let's stick here. Now this same Peter, later on in Matthew, I think chapter 10, somewhere. Chapter 19, I think. He asks Jesus, for us we left everything to follow you. I'm paraphrasing. What is in it for us? Eh? You find that scripture. It's a very interesting one. For us who left everything to follow you, what's in it for us? Now somebody would say, Jesus says, but also you. Don't you have food to eat? What do you want? No, Jesus did not say that. Jesus said, Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Now, Jesus could have been offended by this, but he was not. Everybody who follows is looking for a benefit. The whole world is looking for what? Benefit. So when you follow, there is a benefit. So he's saying, so what is in it for us? Then Jesus says, in the next verse, so Jesus said to him, assuredly, I said to you. Now imagine, Jesus is not thinking that Peter is asking something weird. He says, no, that's a good question. Because you are supposed to have a benefit by following me. So, assuredly, I said to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's for those people, the apostles of the Lamb, those 12. Okay, he says, and everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold here in this world, and in the world to come, eternal life. Amen? You receive first here. Don't think that you follow for heaven. No, there are things to do here. Praise the Lord. Jesus was not going to make them fishers of men in heaven. Eh? They are going to be fishers of men where? On earth. He says, follow me and I'm going to make you this. So every time you are in the process of being made something, depending on whom you follow. Now, some of you follow people on social media. No, that's different. Social media is different. But by the way, even at a very lower level, you can follow people on social media, man, and they take you down a path of vanity and stupidity. But anyway, that's not your portion. But my point is, there are people even on TV who will be there, and there is somebody whom they follow. And there was a certain man who used to preach a lot of end time. Not end time really, but okay. Bible prophecy and all that. And I used to listen to him a lot. And that's the problem. You over-listen to him. Then I realized that, okay, you know those things of theirs of somebody has studied the Bible for how many hours? Who counts the hours they are studying the Bible? Then I realized this man is taking me somewhere where I don't want to be. So I stopped listening to him. Like, how many hours do you study the Bible? Do you know? Like, how can you say somebody studied, that somebody who has studied the Bible of how many hours? Where every time he's studying the Bible, he starts the clock. Then he stops it when he finishes. Now, you've heard of those guys, So now I used to follow the guy. Then when I started hearing, he turns you into a kind of thing where you're studying, and you have no sense of spirituality, and you lose your, even in this end time thing, you lose your prophetic unction of seeing things which are not seen by the natural eye, because you also are listening to somebody. I used to have a lot of information he would give me, and I liked him for the purpose of information. But then I realized, but man, his information comes at a cost. Eventually, you start becoming as dry as him. Then I stopped listening to him. Because he's going to make me something. And I don't want what he's going to make me. So every time you follow somebody, he's in the process of what? Making you. But following is not an idle thing. When you follow somebody, actually, you really, really follow. Now, can you imagine somebody came and told Jesus in Luke 9 that, let me go and say bye to my family and I come and follow you. Isn't that interesting? Eh? You'd say, why are you saying bye to your family as if you are going to die? Eh? But you see, when you go to follow, those people mean nothing now. So the guy, and Jesus even actually did not even give him permission. Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to them that are at my house. Then what did Jesus say? Eh? Jesus said, go ahead. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, there is even no time for what? For going to say bye, because it's a process of I've gone. Eh? Now another one came and told him, also around that same scripture, came and told him, let me go and bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the what? Eh, you come and follow me. Eh? That's a hard teaching. But you see, it requires giving, setting aside everything that meant a lot to you. Everything. I told you that time of what? 2017 on, eh? When I realized that now, man, none of those things mean anything to me. I think I'd come to that place already, but that made me realize when I saw everybody, eh? Man, who, that guy, man, eh? People getting very angry. Then I look at them and say, you man, what's wrong with you? Mature people getting angry that because I kissed a prophet's shoe. Is it your shoe or is it your lips? Eh? Praise the Lord. So now, there is a certain point where you realize that now that means nothing, absolutely nothing to me. But then you realize that when people seem to think that, then actually that's when now you're beginning to really shine. He said, we thought you are wise. So what happened to the wisdom? Did it go in the shoe? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, but you know, the easier, I told somebody, you be there with your natural knowledge. We'll see where it will take you. Me, I know where mine is taking me. Praise the Lord. Amen? But you see, the people of darkness know these things. That's the unfortunate truth. The people of darkness know these things. You find, there was a time I saw a picture in Bukedde of a man who was a permanent secretary. But he used to go to some witch doctor where you have to go naked. So they even took a picture of the guy when he's naked. Completely, totally stuck naked, entering the shrine. Now if they took my picture like that. But you see, because those people, they will never make a big deal out of it. Because all of them do it. All of them. Those people in the darkness. I remember some journalist telling me of, this guy who what? You know, that Ahab guy. That witch doctors tell him to crawl on his, what? On his knees. Then he goes down. They say, now come back. Then he comes back because he wants power. And you think he's not wise? He's wise. Hey, but we are wiser. Amen? These spiritual things, the law of following, does not respect your bitiwa, your mayinja. You understand? There was a man in the Bible who was sick of leprosy and came to Elisha the prophet. And you know what the man did? When they told him, there is a man who can cure your leprosy in Israel. Do you know what this man did? He went, he was a commander of the army. So he could not just come from Syria and come to Israel to see, in his way of thinking. So what he did is he went to the king of Syria and told him, I want to go to Israel. Write for me a letter to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel will tell the prophet to pray for me. You see the mayinja, eh? Now, when he arrived to Elisha, Elisha said, man, this anointing does not know mayinja. You have leprosy, I can heal it. So Elisha actually treated him in what you would call a very disrespectful way. Just to show him that your mayinja don't count here. So he told him, he did not even come out of the house. He sent for him a servant. Go and wash yourself in that pool and you will be healed. So the man first quarrels. Can you imagine? I came all the way from Syria I'm a commander of the army. At least he should have come out here and at least prayed for me. But he just sends for me a servant. Then the servant told him, but if he had told you to do something difficult, wouldn't you have done it? You just do what he told you. So he humbles himself and goes. Now when his leprosy is healed, now he comes back. I have gifts for you. Elisha says, you take your gifts, I don't want them. And yet there was nothing wrong with the prophet taking gifts, because he actually used to do it all the time. But he had to show this man that your mahinja count for nothing here. Okay? If you are to receive from the Spirit, you humble yourself down. Amen? That's what it takes. If you want to be proud, you go and be proud. Let's see where that will take you. But here, the act of following means you put set aside all your what you know, everything you know, and you are an expert at fishing. Can you imagine? Jesus found Matthew, a tax collector, working for URA, and he just walks. Follow me. The guy did not even write a resignation letter. The guy just stood up and what? Hey! Even Levi, tax collector, commissioner, URA. Follow me. Why did he tell them that? Because it's obvious these people had reached a point in their life where they want, they feel there's something more to life. And they are looking for a direction. Let me tell you, God will bring you to a place where he knows you need somebody to follow. Then he will show you whom to follow. And says, now, if you follow that person, he will make you. Amen? Hey. So now just follow me. They follow. Follow me. They follow. Leaving no resignation letter, nothing. And they just move. And he makes them. And I will make you. I will make you. He tells Peter that you will sit on the 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Can you imagine from being a fisherman and tells, this is what I'm going to make you. I called you to make you in the afterworld. But here in this world, you also receive 100-fold for everything you left. But in the life hereafter, you're going to be one of those. Now, even the commissioner of URA is also what? They are judging what? The tribes of Israel. The guy who left, stood up and left his desk and just left it and went. Praise the Lord. So, now some of you will want to say, yeah, we are followers of Jesus. I wish you luck if you've ever seen him. Huh? Amen? It says in the 1 Thessalonians that you became followers of us and of the Lord. Followers of what? And of the Lord. That is Paul saying, hey, you became followers of us and of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Not of the Lord and of us. That's the Bible. Eh? I'm not the one who wrote it. Some of you are looking at me like this. Eh? I'm not the one who wrote those words. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? You can check your Bible if you don't believe that one. Now go to, I'll end with this scripture. Go to Philippians 4 verse 9. Philippians 4 verse 9. It says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these things. Do. And the God of peace will be with you. In other words, Paul is saying, the things, you imagine, he has left them nothing. The things which you learned, which you received, which you heard, and which you saw, what has he left? Maybe smelt. He has finished all the five senses. The only thing maybe was left, the things which you smelt in me. But he's, in other words, he's saying, follow me completely. The things which you saw me do, which you heard me say, which what all those things, you do them. Which you saw me, not saw Jesus. You did not see Jesus. But Paul saw him. You understand? Eh? So he says, now for you, the things which you saw me do, which you heard, which you learned, which you received, which you had, and so in me. These do. And then he says, and God will be with you. Because you're following my things, God will be with you. Amen? So you see, this is God's way. And now the truth is, it is a very effective way if you learn how to appropriate being a follower. It saves you a lot of things because there are things you are protected from. Because for you, you are just a what? Follower. In the Old Testament, God calls Moses and tells Moses, you could get your brother Aaron. And Aaron comes with him. And God tells Moses that you are like God to Aaron, and he's like your prophet. So everything you tell him to do, to say, he will say. So God tells Moses, Moses tells who? Aaron. Now the Christian today would say, for me, I want to hear directly from who? From God. Eh? But God has his hierarchy of doing things. Now, when Moses went to the mountain, can you imagine this Aaron went and made a golden calf for the children of Israel? They came and told him, that Moses, we don't know what has become of him. But let us make for us a golden calf and we go and we worship it. So he made a golden calf and we, along with them, Aaron, along with them, they said, oh, Israel, here are the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, along with Aaron. Then when Moses came, do you know what God did to Aaron? Nothing. What? Because he was a follower. Aaron got away with it. And not just with that, with so many other things. Because for him, he was just under Moses. Now, when Moses just struck a rock instead of speaking to it, God punished him heavily. Said, you are not going to enter the promised land. Because for him, he's not a follower. But Aaron made a golden calf and even says, here is your God. But God just ignores him because for him he's a follower. Praise the Lord. Are you beginning to understand it? Hey, because now the other one is, Moses was angered by the children of Israel. God told him, speak to the rock and it brings water. Moses got a thing and struck it. Yes, it brought water. But God said, now because of that, no promised land. Then Moses pleaded, says, no, it is done. That's why James says, be careful, all of you, not to be teachers, because teachers will be judged harsher. But then also, I'll tell you this, unless you learn how to follow, you never have a following. Maybe on social media. You never have a following. Do you read the scripture and see how many things Aaron got away with. He used to do weird things. But all the time, God would just leave him. The only time, actually, God came out strong against him was when he disobeyed Moses and was questioning Moses for marrying an Ethiopian woman because she was black. You know, racism started back then. So, the only time God was really, really, really angry with Aaron. Can you imagine a man who made a golden calf and even says, here is your God. And God ignores that. But when he questioned the authority of Moses, then God comes out and says, who do you think you are to question Moses? For you, I speak to you in dreams. And you, by the way, Aaron was Moses' older brother. You know that? 3 years older. But he says, for you, I speak to you in dreams, but to Moses, I speak face to face. So how dare you question him? Then it is Moses who pleaded for them. Then he said, okay, but first lock them outside of the camp. Let them learn how to be good followers. Because he knows that you've been protected because of following this man. Everything comes to this man. All of Israel, let me strike these people. Moses says, please, Lord, don't do it. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. You promised them that they are descendants. Then God says, okay, because you've said. Now, he's protecting you all the time. Then you stand up and say, who do you think you are? That's when God comes out. Because he knows that as long as you're a follower, you are protected from so many things until you become, you know, something else. Praise the Lord. So now that is the end of the mass. Okay, sorry. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Is this your wife? Eh? She's your woman MP of where? Agago, eh? Agago, eh? What's your name? Hey. You come and I pray for you. Honorable Akelo. Eh? Okay. Are you going to represent us, the Lord, properly? And you? Hey, sorry. This is honorable prophet. And her husband. Praise the Lord. Okay. You hold my hand. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
No. Just keep quiet. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I make a room for you, amen, says the Lord.
Amen.
I make a way for you.
Amen.
Where there seems to be none.
Amen.
I bring you to a position of leadership.
Amen.
Within the house. Eh?
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And in the name of Jesus. Rika masata rabasho mozonto rosha. Reasete rabasho mozonto rosha. Rika masata rabasho mozonto rosha. The protective arm of God is upon you. Eh?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In success. Do you want to do business? Eh? Like are you involved in some business? Eh?
Yes.
Or you're plotting? What business are you involved in? First, keep quiet. Do you like farming?
Yes.
Are you involved in farming business?
Yes, but now I'm rearing.
Now you occupy it.
No, I'm keeping animals.
You're keeping animals. Eh?
Mm.
That's farming also.
Yeah.
Yeah. But more than that, you also do, crop farming.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about something to do with sorghum or rice, some grain in your place?
When I was the RDC in Weya, I was cropping. I was doing rice farming.
You were doing rice, eh?
Okay.
Mm. And still, you are going to do rice. Eh?
Okay.
But also sorghum. Eh?
Okay.
Also sorghum.
Actually, this season I planted 2 acres of sorghum.
Of sorghum?
Mm.
Okay. But 2 acres, because I'm seeing it's supposed to be bigger than that. Eh?
Okay.
In the name of Jesus, so do that, and you'll be even an example to the people in your. In your district, to make money through agriculture. Okay, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, I speak a blessing upon you and an uplifting in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. I bless their marriage in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Amen. Mm.
Sandra, you come. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I lift.
Amen.
the spirit of heaviness.
Amen.
Of you in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
And the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Comes and encompasses you.
Amen.
And you multiply.
Amen.
Do not let yourself be discouraged.
Amen.
Don't let yourself be discouraged.
Yes.
Do not let yourself be downcast.
Yes.
For the Lord is doing something.
Amen.
Mighty in your life.
Amen. Amen.
And it shall come out.
Amen.
It shall come forth in its time.
Amen.
Do not discourage.
Amen.
Do not let yourself be discouraged.
Amen.
And do not see as if nothing is happening.
Amen.
And don't feel as if the walls are caving in on you.
Yes.
They are not. You are actually expanding.
Amen.
You're expanding.
Amen.
And the hand of the Lord is moving heavy on you.
Amen.
And he says, do not waste this time.
Yes.
Because you can use it to write very good music.
Amen. Amen.
Now,
I receive it.
Your creativeness.
Amen.
Is at its peak right now.
Amen.
And you write wonderful music.
Amen.
Which will bless the country, bless the world.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. I
and that beautiful thing that God has put in you.
Amen.
Is going to shine through. Eh?
Amen.
Just do not let yourself be discouraged.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And now even your home. Eh?
Yes.
I reach out there.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I cleanse it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I decree that every negative force.
Amen.
Every force of the enemy.
Amen.
That was seeking to pitch, take a root at your place.
Amen.
I root it out now in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I decree in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That it is rooted out.
In Jesus.
And now you shall go there in joy.
Amen.
And you shall sleep in joy.
Amen.
And you shall dream wonderful dreams.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you shall even sleep with a pen and a paper.
Amen.
Next to you.
Yes.
So that
yes.
You wake up and write the wonderful things.
Amen.
That the Lord is going to deliver to you.
Amen.
And I'm saying tonight.
Yes.
Tonight,
yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We bless your name. We bless your name, Father. I thank you for each and every person here. There's somebody who was offended by something I said, especially about not ever being broke. Now, forgive yourself. Don't forgive me because I did not lie. But my point is, we don't say these things to... I say these things as an encouragement for you to aspire to, you understand? Do not let yourself be... Because you saw it as if it was bragging. There is no bragging here. There is nothing that I have that is not of God, that was not given to me freely by God. So it's not a brag. Just see that God is no respecter of persons. I'm telling you this because the reason you're offended is because of you're going through a tough time. But God is no respecter of persons. Like anything can be true for you just as it is true for. He's no respecter of persons. He has no favorites. Amen? So just believe the Lord. This is your message. Just believe the Lord and shall be true of you. In the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay. Just pray in tongues, everybody, briefly. May the Lord continue to reveal to you. The secrets of following in the name of Jesus. An uplifting. And may the Lord uplift your finances in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. There's somebody who has a bladder problem, and I'm just speaking healing over. You don't come out, just receive your healing. Right now I say I receive it wherever you are, in the name of Jesus. Receive it in Jesus' name. I don't know what is wrong with the bladder, but something. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.